It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Welcome in. We're live tonight from Mighty River Brewing Company here. Is this technically Windsor? I think it is.
It is, yeah.
It is.
See, this I got my trusty sidekicks here. They always keep me in line, keep me informed. Chad Young, owner of the tavern at St. Michael's Square with that smooth, silky voice. Chad, how are you?
Feeling smooth and silky.
I love it.
That's nice.
Yeah, you are. Okay, I reach over there, I touch Chad. He does feel, I almost said smell, which would have been even weirder.
Always got to make it weird.
Oh, you know I do. You know I do. Dr. Michael Mosier, UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences, as well as, is it, can we make, what, which, I don't know what
well,
to call you anymore.
We're Broken Plow getting ready to grand open as Rule 105. So.
Just in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. Brady Hull, host of the whole show, will be out there live from 12 to 2. On June 25th, so set it on your calendar. You can come by and see us. And, yeah, I know 12 to 2 might be a little early to start drinking, but it's afternoon.
It's a Friday.
It's a Friday, and it's a grand opening for a brewery. So there's
why not just have a three-day weekend?
That's right.
That's all the excuses that that I need right there. Again, we're live from Mighty River, a brewing company, as we visit our brew hop stop. We're wrapping it up out here live. Dan Miller's been wandering around, and guys, the first thing that I noticed is it's been a while since I've been able to be over here, and the beer list has definitely changed a little bit.
Yeah,
they've got their usuals on. I had a Wicked Awesome already, so that went down really, really well. But Chad, you tried, was it the Mad Dog?
Yeah, the Mad Dog IPA, which is kind of a West Coasty IPA. Very good. Yeah,
that's new, right? We didn't have we or have you,
you
had?
No, I feel like I've had it before.
Yeah, I've had that one before.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it's just it. I think it's just amazing, though.
I mean, it is. Yeah.
They just taste great. And I had the Intergalactic, the hazy IPA.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that was good.
And you noted maybe even a little bit better too, because we forget with this place. It's still, I think it's third or fourth year. We'll have to ask Dan and have him fact check me, but I think it's his third or fourth year. And you know, I mean, when you're brewing, that's about the time that you start to really perfect these recipes.
You get it all dialed in, and everything starts to come together, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's exciting too. Maybe not a beer connoisseur, but maybe that when that starts to happen, you're like, wow, that was a pretty damn good beer before, and now it's a really damn good beer.
Right.
And that's kind of exciting as well. If you haven't been to Mighty River, it's right just north of the Budweiser Event Center by Nordy's, north of Power to Play Sports as well. You definitely need to stop by in here. We were talking before we jumped on air here as well. You know, Windsor's brewing brewery scene is starting to grow a little bit because for the longest time, it was High Hops.
It was High Hops.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And then the name of it slipping me right over there.
Mash Lab
came along next, right?
Yep.
And then Mighty River. And then, of course, Peculiar Ales has opened up as well. A lot of diversity, but a lot of great beer drinkers here in Northern Colorado. You're close
absolutely.
To Loveland. You're close to Fort Collins. You get people that can come and stop by. But we've talked about this. It's in a little bit of a subdivision. And when you're in this subdivision, you got a lot of those consistent regulars, right?
Sure.
I mean, you get that foot traffic that helps a lot.
Well, and I think we also forget that there's four breweries in Windsor.
Yeah.
Right? And we're kind of used to the idea that, you know, if there isn't a brewery on every street corner, then it's just not right. So to have four within walking distance is great. And to have one in your subdivision, that's even better still. You could ride your bike to it. You could walk to it. You could, and this is the great place for it. And I will say this, too, and I've always said this. The view from the patio is amazing.
Right. Yeah,
it is.
View.
It is. You know, you got that grain silo there, and you look past it, and then there's those beautiful mountains over there, and it really is. It's a great experience, and you know, this being in the subdivision, I think had to have helped during 2020,
mm-hmm.
because you had people who could walk out here, right, during, mm-hmm. and still get their beers to go.
Closer than the liquor store, closer than any of the other breweries.
And so speaking of, this place actually has beer to go in cans.
They
do. So you don't even have to wait.
They've got a packed refrigerator over there. Really looking forward to to having Dan Miller sit down. They and the other thing, too, you know, talk about perfecting recipes. They've got a new brewer that's starting to phase in here, right? Gabe, I believe, was his name that Dan was telling us about. That can be a very scary thing, though, at times, right, guys? I mean, when you've had somebody that you've worked with, somebody that knows it, and then you bring somebody else new in, if they mm-hmm. haven't been coming up in the same system, that can be scary a little bit.
Yeah, and there's always going to be a little bit of transition time, but I'm sure before the new brewer fully takes control, Dan will be back there guiding him through.
Right.
Yeah, you want to make sure that things are the same as they were before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and that's why I think he used the term phasing in, because that's really what it is. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's a great environment in here. Obviously, there's a nice little crowd out here on a Wednesday evening as well. Feel free to come by. It's $5 pints on a cup on select beers, by the way. So that's running on while we're here. They close at 9, but Dan gave us a little bit of a wink and said if we need to stay up open a little bit later, he'd be willing to do that. So stop by and have a beer with us tonight. We're here at Broken Plow. Why do I do that every damn time? Every time. Mighty River, Broken Plow. Not even close to the same thing.
No.
But we're here at Mighty River. Are you just going to call me dumb, Chad, or what?
No. I didn't need to.
It's all the beer and food and wonderful atmosphere that's just clouding your brain
right
now.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And it's nice to be back live on a remote and out here. And it's pretty cool with the new state regulations are and things like that. You know, the mask mandate is lifted. It feels normal and it feels good.
It does. It's good to be back. People sitting at the bar, that's one of the things I miss the most, because that's what my wife and I love to do, is just go sit at the bar and have conversations with the bartenders and the other bar folk and enjoy some drinks.
And potentially even the brewer who happens to be behind the bar right now here. So that's great, because you can sit and ask questions. So why did you do this on that beer, or why did you do that? And, of course, then just turn your head and look at the scenery. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah, there it is for sure. And of course, Pizza Vino right next door. And they've added as Dan told us last week on Brew Talk, they've added a menu that when they don't have a food truck going on, they've got a bar menu now that you can order Pizza Vino.
Very nice.
And it's phenomenal pizza. We had it last time you're out here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, Chad, talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, that adds a lot to whatever location you're at, when you know that you don't have to leave and go get food or whatever.
No, absolutely.
Being able to have that, then you can enjoy your...
Especially with a brewery that doesn't have their own kitchen or something like that. Food trucks can sometimes be unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something might break down or, you know, whatever.
Better gig might come up, right?
A better gig might come along. I didn't want to
call a spade here.
It could be that. So to have something consistent right next door that's developed a menu just for your tap room and it, you know, the ease of ordering and bringing it over, I think is great.
Well, and I would think that it's got to be beneficial for both parties, for Pizza Vino as well, because you know it's not a huge name of a restaurant, and maybe it's just me that doesn't know that, but it's not a huge name of a restaurant. And when you come in here and you're like, oh yeah, they've got their, I wouldn't come here specifically, you know, just to visit that restaurant. I'm sure there's people that do, but
you just don't know it.
I just don't know it,
right? But although I've tasted their pizza, and I would come here just for that.
Right.
It's just that good. So
yeah, now we would.
Yeah, yeah, now we would for sure. And it's because I came here to the brewery and had a piece of pizza on the way.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful arrangement or a symbiotic relationship between the two. And I wish every brewery had that kind of relationship with a restaurant next door that would just seem to work together on both ends.
Yeah. And it's great, you know, that keeps people in the brewery and it gets exposure for your restaurant. So,
well, and did you just say a symbiotic relationship?
Yeah.
This is a beer show.
Oh, sorry.
Small words.
Is that the word
no
of the
science.
Day?
No science. Yeah, no.
Symbiotic?
Yes, yes, yes. Maybe. But tonight, Chalkboard Express, is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Chalkboard Express is out there. And I had a little bit of food before we got on air, and I had the Crazy Dog, which is a hot dog, but it's not like a – they slice the hot dog up.
They slice the hot dog.
It's almost like there's two hot dogs on there,
huh,
which is phenomenal. Then they put some bacon on, then some mustard and some relish.
You said bacon, so I'm sold.
That's all I saw. I was like, okay, bacon on a hot dog? Yeah, I'm in. It was really good. It was really good. You can't be afraid to get messy with it, though. It was a little messy. And then they've got the street tacos as well that we had out here. And the street tacos were very good as well. Red chili on there. And, Chad, you said chalkboard. It's been around for a while now.
It has been around for a while. And I think what I remember, they were out at Grimm Brothers a lot. And when they first started, it was just like a little hot dog cart. And that's all they did. They did a couple different dogs of the day and some Philly cheesesteaks. So.
Yeah, you talk about symbiotic relationships.
Yeah, there you go.
You talk about food trucks and the beer scene here in northern Colorado. They feed off of each other a lot. And
absolutely.
That's why I think it could be argued, you know, we talk a lot about the brewery scene and the brewing scene and the craft beer scene here in northern Colorado. But it could be said the same of just how good the food trucks are up here. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it works out, right?
Right. I think if you look at the food truck scene, it's improved as well as the beer
right.
scene has improved, because the good ones continue to get called to come on out and be at the brewery, and they get better and better and better, just like the breweries get better and better and better, and it's a benefit for everybody.
Well, because they have to, you know. It gets competitive. You know, everybody wants the most popular breweries, and as a food truck, they're only going to invite the ones that they think it works well for what they have to offer.
Well, and we've used that dirty S word, right, saturated, and we've asked that about the brewing scene. Is Northern Colorado now saturated? Are we oversaturated with breweries? And I don't know if we're there yet. Because I think in maybe some of the major cities, you're starting to get there. I think Windsor could probably support another one.
Right.
You know, four is a pretty good number, but, you know, it could Greeley support another one? I don't know about that. I mean, because you talk about it, and Greeley's got eight or nine, right? Or is it something along those
but
lines?
I think if until you see one on every street corner. I mean, think of Seattle when the coffee scene happened.
Right.
There was a coffee shop on every single street corner. So until you get to that, I don't think you're really fully saturated. There's always something for somebody at each brewery, and as long as they find their niche, I think we're good to go.
You know, and I think there's always going to be enough people to support several breweries. I mean, if there wasn't, breweries wouldn't still be opening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's absolutely the case. And it kind of an interesting question that my brain just went to. Are there more coffee drinkers in this world or more beer drinkers in this world?
Oh, gosh.
That's a good question. Probably
more coffee,
I'd probably say coffee.
Probably coffee.
Yeah.
How do we get those converted over into beer? I don't know.
I don't know. Slip some. I was gonna say, put some whiskey in their coffee, but
or maybe we do a symbiotic relationship and we have coffee flavored beers.
That is the most we've said is something like that in a long time. It's symbiotic. I mean, that might just be the word of the day, just because we've used it so much. But yeah, I mean, and my where I was gonna go with this too is that, you know, Windsor could probably use. I think the case could be made that Fort Collins might be getting very close to being oversaturated.
It's getting close. It's still got room for a couple more that come in with their own niche.
Yeah.
I mean, we know where to go if you want a German beer. We know where if you want to get
a
Cascade.
Yeah, yeah.
But where do you go to get that?
And there's still neighborhoods without a neighborhood brewery,
right?
So. The big guys will always be there.
Right.
But it's those neighborhood breweries that you see people out throughout the week, and then they go to the bigger ones during the weekends.
If you've got the name recognition, right, I think that's another big thing, that if you've got the name like Peculiar is going to be moving over to Fort Collins. Have they created enough buzz with it here in Windsor to be able to, like, instantly have that success?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a fair, and that's going to be an interesting question to see how they translate from going from Windsor over to Fort Collins. I don't want to say, you know, competing with the big dogs, but there's a lot more competition over there.
Yeah, for sure. Nick's probably very confident that he can do that, and that's why they decided to make the move. I'm sure.
And don't forget that particular scene over there, in that particular location they're moving into, is a little bit lower saturation where they are.
Yeah.
So they're hitting a new set of customers that's related to the subdivision area where they're going. So, like I say, I think until you hit one brewery per subdivision, I think you you're not quite saturated all the way.
Well, and the small towns, right? We've talked about Eaton getting their brewery, Chief and Kettle. I mean, you talk about some of these other small towns. When do they start to, you know, Timnath's growing like crazy. Timnath's got one. But when does, and does Severance have one too?
Severance has one.
Right, Severance has one. And so
Wellington has three now.
We're getting close. I mean, we're getting there, right?
But once, I mean, if you put one in Pierce, I think you're pretty much done. I don't think you get support two. But, I mean, that's just because Pierce is one subdivision. It's one group of people.
Right.
So when you get to a little bit bigger than that, I think you can support more than that. I mean, then we're getting to the model of, like, German breweries where each one becomes the neighborhood hangout.
Right.
And people stay in their neighborhoods more than they travel across town. So,
yeah, well, it's interesting for sure. Again, we're live from Mighty River Brewing Company. We'll be here until, the show ends at 8 o'clock. I'm sure we'll be around for a couple of minutes afterward enjoying a couple more beers. But we hope you can join us. $5 for select beers, $5 for a pint of beer here on some select beers. Stop by and see us. We're set up, ready to go. The weather's just starting to cool down a little bit, so that patio is getting into prime patio sitting condition.
And we're getting into... We're not just that, sunset. But we're also getting into sunset, and now's the perfect time to be out there.
Doc's a big sunset guy.
Oh, yes,
big sunset guy. I'll tell you what, let's snag a break here when we come back on the other side. Owner of Mighty River Brewing Company, Dan Miller, joins us in just a couple of minutes. It's Brew Talk Radio live and on location at Mighty River Brewing Company right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Good Wednesday evening, Northern Colorado. Welcome back in. Man, does this feel good again. Be back out live and on location and not have to count seats to see if you're at 30, 40, 50% capacity. Don't have to worry about the mask. I mean, it's exciting, and it's something that I know that we've been yearning for a long time, and now you got the weather turning a little too hot, maybe 90 degrees and up. For a fat guy like me, I start sweating a little bit more aggressively. But we're live from Mighty River Brewing Company. We ask you to come by, join us, have a beer tonight, and really enjoy this this really awesome brewery, local brewery, locally owned. Really great time out here. And joining us now is owner of Mighty River Brewing Company, Dan Miller. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Tanner. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. We've been out here. We've got some food from Chalkboard Express.
Yeah.
And so we were talking a little bit about this, about a symbiotic relationship. That's the word of the day, apparently. We're going with this science term.
I like that word.
Tanner learned a new word
today. I did. And I'm going to use it. Like, I'm like your 8-year-old. I'm just going to learn a new word and use it and use it and use it and use it. But how important has the food truck scene been? You know, whether the regulations were in where you had to have food and stuff, and now I know we'll talk about Pizza Vino too, but how important have those food trucks been to establishing and really getting the name out there and to your business?
Huge. I can't overstate it. They've been great. They're just a big part of what a taproom brewery is. We don't have a kitchen, so it's been critical. And so many of them have been so great and gracious, and we love having them here, and we want to help them, and I know they want to help us, and like you said, symbiotic, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, what is that scheduling process like?
It's interesting. It's been, sometimes we can get away with doing it, you know, a month in advance, but sometimes it takes about two to make sure you can get that truck. And
that's a lot of planning.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning into a lot of looking ahead.
What percentage of them would you say show up? You know, if you're planning 2 months out in advance, things fall through for one reason
they
or
do.
Another. What percent of them show up on the day that you originally have it planned?
Is it over 50? It is.
It is okay. Okay.
It is. Yes. But yeah, there are times when you know things happen, and there's nothing we can do about that. So. But yeah, it's I'd definitely say it's over 50, and I'd say it's probably 60 to 70.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's not a bad bad rate there. But
now, do they come to you wanting to book, or do you have to chase them down?
It's both.
Is it both?
Yep.
And you know, if one doesn't show, you still have got Pizza Vino right next door, so you've got a fallback, which is always a good one to have.
Exactly. And they just started the tap room menu for us. I think we were talking about that last time.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, and which is so awesome of them to do that.
What does that menu look like? I mean, did you have any say in it? Did you guys kind of collaborate on that?
Yeah, a little bit. Not a ton. I pretty much left it up to them. It's only about 5 or 6 items right now.
Right.
But that could change, but it's delicious. Everything they do over there is so good. And Ben, the head chef over there, and Teresa, the new manager, have been awesome to work with. And they were all for it. So.
Yeah, no, that's exciting. That's what we were just talking about. I mean, because it, in a lot of ways, takes a lot of stress off of you as well, so that you don't have to have, you know, your kitchen going on here too, and you have to manage that. And I don't know how good of a cook you are, but
I can make mac and cheese.
There you go. All right,
I know. Craft.
That's all we need.
Nobody goes for the peanut butter and jelly. You know,
yeah. I know.
It's always mac and cheese.
I don't understand.
Yeah, that's all I got. So thank God we have food trucks and Pizza Vino to help us out with that.
So one of the things that I noticed, and I talked about this a little bit too, the beer menu looks a little different since the last time that I've been in there. You've added quite a few different beers in there. Are you in a, maybe, I don't want to call it an experimental stage, but you're phasing in a new brewer, correct? Gabe?
Gabriel. Yep. He started back in January as an assistant. And then when our previous brewer moved on, I hired Gabriel to take over, and he's been doing great. And also brought in an assistant, Lana Stoner, and she's been doing great. She's picking it up. They're both from the CSU Fermentation Science Program, and are just eager and excited to be a part of what we're doing.
That's got to be pretty. Re-energizing for you too, right? To see somebody, a couple of people who are that excited to get their foot in the door and get rolling.
Yeah, and it's been really good to see their ambition and their excitement, and I think it's really neat because they latched on to kind of what we want to do here, but they're also bringing in their ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's just a really nice thing when that happens.
Yeah, so when you look at the beer menu, it has changed a little bit since the last time that I've been in here. Is that their input? Are you having different recipes that you want to have? How does that relationship work?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's just full-on working together and just coming up with ideas. They've been through the program. They've done internships. They've studied abroad. They've done a lot of things, and both of them in Europe even. So... they bring some things to the table. They have some ideas that I've been receptive to. And in fact, we're going to be doing, I think I mentioned last time, we're going to be doing a saison. We're going to be doing a honey lavender Belgian saison. So looking really forward to that. That's going to be, as soon as they brought that up to me, I said, yep, we're doing that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So when is that going to be released?
I think we're going to probably brew that in a week or two.
Yeah.
So about a month.
About a month, it'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
We're talking with Dan Miller, the owner of Mighty River Brewing Company. The Pineapple Pale Ale, we've talked about that one a little bit. Doc's got it down there as well. Was this the beer that you switched up the recipe on, or am I thinking of a different one?
Yeah, it is. A couple of times. We added mango once, and that was received pretty well, too. But we did have a tough time getting the balance right with the pineapple because, like Mike said, it's kind of tough to get that balance.
It's subtle, and I like subtle.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people who actually likes to hunt for the flavors inside the beers, because then
it's an interesting analogy. Well, I like it though.
It makes you like kind of really have to savor each sip rather than just go, oh wow, that tastes like bubblegum, or wow, that tastes like a chocolate, or something like that. I'd rather have to sit there and go, oh wow, there's some new flavors in there, and oh well, that's a, you know, sort of like that ratatouille cartoon
kind of layers.
It's like an onion, right?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a Shrek reference.
And I did a ratatouille reference. So
we're a kids show. We're kid friendly. Kid friendly. We're talking about beer. But so this pineapple pale ale, it's out. So talk to me about the struggles of maybe not just with this beer, but I'm sure you had this with other beers of finding that balance. How do you say, I mean, is it just a lot of trial and error, and then you have to drink a lot of beer that maybe you weren't satisfied pushing out to people?
You know, yeah. I mean, it's you try to limit the trial and error as much as possible, and you know, you do play with things. You try different ingredients. You do different ratios.
I'll take you a beer that you don't think is good enough to put out there for the public. All right, just so. Trial and error stuff. I'll take any leftovers you got.
All right,
I'll throw my name in the ring.
Yeah, right? I mean, like every brewery, we put some down the drain, and that's always a heartbreaking moment, but for many reasons. But yeah, it is. I mean, there is some of that.
Yeah.
And but yeah, when you talk about the pineapple pale ale, that's a good example. I mean, I think we did pretty well with it early on, but we had some issues that were beyond flavor. We had some fermentation in some of our kegs, so it just turned into a foamy mess. And
at least you didn't have a loss of a keg or two.
Yeah, right. So there was some of that, and it's just part of it.
Right.
And, you know, especially when you're starting a brewery for the first time, you know, and you've never done it before except home brewing and talked to other brewers and gleaned all you can from them.
Yeah.
There's going to be some mistakes made, I think, you know, we've been around now for over 2.5 years, and we
have. Is that it? It's just 2.5?
It's just been well, a little over. We're getting close to three.
Like, it's either 3 or 4. I always overestimate because we were talking about it, what was the first beer that you had, the Intergalactic?
Intergalactic, right? Yeah.
And he said, you know, I remember this beer being really good, and now it's really, really good. Do you feel like you're starting to perfect some of these things?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there were some beers. I'll be honest. Early on, I would taste them and go, this isn't quite what we were going for.
Right.
It's not bad. It's not great. But it wasn't quite what we were going for. And then, you know, you get to a point, like all new breweries do, where you're like, that's it. Okay,
right.
We got it.
You got it dialed
yeah,
in.
Yeah, don't change it. Don't mess with it. You know, and if you do change it, make sure it's just tiny.
Right.
And, you know, but you're always still open to criticism or whatever, constructive
critique.
Now, have you had a beer that you've brewed that you've absolutely loved and thought you hit that didn't sell quite as well as you thought it should?
Yeah, actually, yeah. The Big Water, which is our hazy double. A lot of people that have it love it, but it's 8%+.
Yeah.
So it's you know, I've definitely noticed that our crowd is definitely a more traditional crowd. They definitely will explore and try new things, but not a ton of them are going to be going for those big hazies or the triple or something like that.
I think that's sort of like a niche market, a big-time niche market when you get into those kind of people.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. But you got to have
that
stuff.
Them.
Yeah, you got to have it. And I'm one of those people I love triples, Belgian triples, hazy doubles, hazy traditional IPAs, West Coast traditional IPAs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I love those. And they're stronger. Yeah, they are, but people aren't coming in and ordering 5-6 of those.
Right. You know? They shouldn't be.
They're getting the Kolsch, they're getting the red, or the amber, or Pilsner.
Yeah. Well, Dan, I want to talk to you about your crowd here, right? The people that come and visit. But I do need to grab a break. You want to hang out with us?
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a break here. It's Brew Talk Radio. We're live from Mighty River Brewing Company. We'll be back on the other side right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. Doc's headbanging. Do we need to check
I know, right? Love me that band.
I'm sure at some point in your life, you know, I'm sure that you had some luxurious locks that were flying around when you were doing that.
When I was much younger, much younger, yes, I had long hair and a ponytail and the whole works.
You had a ponytail?
Ponytail and a goatee and the whole works.
You and me both.
You had a ponytail too?
I had a ponytail too.
And then I lost my hair, and so I had to go short everywhere. So
I'm not going to go through that phase, right? I don't think.
No.
So I'll be 24 on Monday, I think.
Mother's father is what they say you'll look like.
Mother's father. Okay. All right. No ponytail for me. Did you have a ponytail, Dan?
Nope.
Good.
Nope. And my hair started to fall out in my 20s.
Yeah.
Mine did late 20s, and just went to where it is now, and I look exactly like, hair pattern, the same way as my mother's father did.
All right. Well, there's your genetics lessons for tonight as well on how that's going to be. I'm Tanner Schwint, Chad Young, owner of the tavern at St. Michael Square, Dr. Michael Mosier down there at the end of the table, and Dan Miller, owner of Mighty River Brewing Company. So where we left off before we took that break, we're talking about your crowd, right, your people. And you've got an interesting set, right, because you are kind of set in the subdivision. Talk to me about the pros and cons of that.
Well, it's nice to be in the subdivision because a lot of people walk over, ride their bikes over.
Especially last year, huh?
Yeah.
It was really nice.
That was. And people still do. In fact, a couple of my friends that are here tonight rode their bikes over. And I live in the neighborhood, so I know some folks in the neighborhood who are awesome and come over and have been supporting us from the beginning. And one thing that's good about this location is it's right off kind of the main drag there, fairgrounds but we're positioned pretty much almost equally between Fort Collins, Loveland, and Greeley.
Yeah.
So, and good access to I-25. So that was all important. All that stuff was important to me.
Yeah. And, do you sometimes feel, I mean, because this, and as Northern Colorado continues to grow, I mean, we're going to get even more and more stuff being built over here. You've seen it already. Did you see, obviously, you saw a drop-off in everything last year. Mm-hmm. But with Budweiser Event Center, no Eagles games going on, no concerts. How much do you draw from those events, from Budweiser Event Center?
Yeah, we were really starting to see a good amount of people coming over from hockey games and other events going on.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see. But then, like you said, COVID came around and, that it kind of went away. I mean, I don't know that it totally did, but it pretty much did. I mean, there were still folks coming in. I guess I don't even know if they played games last. I doubt they did.
I think they played, right? But they didn't have any
no fans.
Okay. Right. And but that was nice. And I'm looking forward to seeing that again, for sure.
So what does the bounce back look like? I mean, I know we're not even a full month into being back at 100% capacity and things like that, but what are the early signs showing for you?
I'll be honest. I we're doing fine, but I actually kind of expected more of a surge than. And I'm just thinking that it's taking time for folks to get used to things going back to normal.
Yeah, being back out.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the restaurants are doing great, and then I just read an article the other day in the Brewers Association magazine that breweries still aren't quite seeing that yet, especially taproom breweries. And I would say that holds true for us too. I'd be curious to know. I should talk to, Pat down at High Hops and to Eric over at Mash Lab and the guys over at Peculiar and see what they're seeing and chat with them about it. I'd be kind of curious to know. It's definitely not been terrible by any means, but I think everybody kind of, I don't know, maybe expectations were unrealistic.
Well, and one of the things that I've brought up on this program, and I think it's starting to rain even more true, is, people's social meters are so small right now that I mean, because we were in our houses and we were not seeing the same amount of people. So then you're like, okay, maybe you're just back to
we don't know how to socialize anymore.
Into being just at your normal job, 8 hours a day, and then sometimes you feel over. So I think maybe a little bit of that, could play in. But
and it also feels a little bit, and it sounds kind of strange, but walking around inside Mighty River feels a little funny to me without a mask on.
Yeah.
Because the last time I was here, there were masks on, and I just I feel a little bit naked walking around without my mask. Yep. And so it's going to take people a little bit of time, I think, to get over that. And once that happens, they'll be out and exploring like they used to be.
I think so too, and I think it's just a matter of time. And we've got some events coming up. We're gonna have Riverfest again, and thank God we've been able to do Riverfest every year. We even were able to do it last year.
Yeah. So for our listeners who don't know what that is, explain it, would you?
Yeah, Riverfest is our take on Oktoberfest. And, we have the Marzen. We'll have our Hefe. We'll have the Kolsch. We'll have other German, probably our Pilsner Lager. We'll have the German beers for that. We'll have music. We set up tables and tents out in the parking lot. and it's a big event. So, and amazingly, we'd had one prior year of Riverfest in 2019, and then in 2020 it was way bigger than 2019.
Really?
Which,
wow.
Yeah, which still blows me away, and I'm sure it's because we were able to set up outside.
Right.
So, and yeah, there were a lot of people out there. So.
So when does this normally happen?
So it's late September.
Yeah.
This year's September 18th.
All right. Put it on the calendars.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good time. We got the big steins, the liter glass steins full of whatever German beer you like.
Right. Well, and so we were talking about this too. We were talking about saturation in oversaturation in the first segment, and have we reached that? And probably not yet. You know, Fort Collins maybe getting close to that. Things like
I would say.
Of that nature. But there's a lot of niche breweries, right? That's what they do. They're, you know, Zwei, all German beers, right? And you would you say that you have a niche, or would you say that you've got a pretty diverse group of beers, and what would you say that self-identify that for you?
I would say we have a pretty diverse selection, and that was always part of what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Now I personally love German beers.
Yeah.
And have for a long time. I love Belgian beers. When the Hazy started coming out back in about 2012, 2013, I was blown away by those, and then just became a fan of doing those, and traditional IPAs too, and whatever else.
So you could just
throw it in.
We could end that with "I like beer." I think
yeah,
at the end of that,
we certainly could.
Sounds good to me.
Just, yeah, and that's exactly always been what I wanted to do. I've always wanted to have a really good variety for everyone, and you know, obviously, you can't have everything, but.
Right.
Well, maybe someone can't, but we don't have everything.
You only have so many
have
taps,
right? Exactly, and but yeah, I would say that was kind of the what I wanted to do. Just have a good selection, and of course, there's going to be some of my own influences kind of thrown into that, and I hope people enjoy that. I don't know.
That's what makes it yours, right?
Sorry, yeah,
Mike.
Right.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, do you worry that you might have too many ideas for the number of taps you have?
No.
Okay. It looks like you have a lot more room where you could add a couple more taps on the sides.
We could, we could add a few more there. We could, and that's definitely a possibility. It just kind of gets down to what equipment you have,
right.
You know, all those intricacies.
We're talking with Dan Miller, the owner of Mighty River Brewing Company. You just listed off five or six different styles. What's your go-to? What's your go-to beer?
My go-to,
The style. You know, I don't.
Yeah, that's.
I know.
You know,
I know.
It's like asking me what my favorite band is. Just music. It's so tough.
Journey's the correct answer on this program. Chad and Doc do not like Journey.
No, no, no.
Well,
I said it didn't.
I got to
like
join
them.
I'm not a Journey fan.
Oh,
but,
hey,
sorry.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, now
just you know, a lot of people are, and I don't regret that.
You just became much closer to us.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I think he actually had a ponytail at one point too. I think he's just hiding.
Yeah,
it
could be. Could be.
Sorry. Go back to your question. Here.
You know, it's really
I think
hard.
I stumped him.
That's a tough one. You did. It's down to definitely, let's just say three.
Okay.
If someone said you can pick three, I would definitely do IPA, either traditional or hazy.
Okay.
Belgian, double or triple.
Okay.
Or a German lager, classic German lager, like a Helles or a Pilsner or a Maybach.
That's still quite a wide variety.
It is.
Of choices
I know.
There.
It really is. I know. You can't.
Which is great if you're on a deserted island and you get to pick three and you pick your three. You every day is a different beer.
Yeah, that's true. I guess if I had to pick one.
Yeah, there we go. Good. You knew I was going to follow up with it. I was coming.
It would probably be a classic German lager.
Yeah.
Probably.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I can rock with that for sure.
And there's so many.
Yeah,
I mean, they're so good. So I get to pick between all those.
Yeah, there you go. You make the rules however you want to make them. You make them however you want to make them. But so now what do you see for the future of Mighty River? I know it's we've spent so much time just surviving, trying to fight the moment. What's next? What are dreams that you still have for this place?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of crossed my mind and some ideas that have been thrown out by parties, and I can't really totally answer your question, but I can say that the future looks bright, and I think you're definitely not going to see us just here. I think you're going to see some expansion at some point. So
that's awesome.
And I'm
that's a very,
very
politically
excited.
Correct answer.
Yeah, it's
it feels like he's got something that I want to know about, but I won't push him on air. Right. Feels like there's some information there, but yeah. Somebody get him another beer. We got to get this out. We got to get this out of Dan here.
Yeah, give me one more. Maybe I'll spill the beans. But
well, it's exciting, right? Yeah, it's exciting to be able to start to plan and build and grow things again, right?
People even think about that stuff rather than staying open,
especially within 2.5 years of opening.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. There's some stuff that we're working on.
That's really exciting.
I'd say it's a bit off, you know, a year or two, but hey, we're talking about it, and I think it's doable. Yeah, it's goals, and you know, I think we're starting to kind of catch on here in Larimer County and Northern Colorado, Weld County, and I think we've got a good thing going, and I want to keep it going.
So we've talked about this. Does this fall under Larimer or Weld?
We're Larimer here.
Larimer,
yeah,
okay.
But we're only about a mile from the county line.
You don't have to answer this either, but it just popped in my head. Was it frustrating that you were in Larimer County with some of the more strict regulations?
I mean, being a business owner, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you don't want to
put people in at risk or, you know, any of that. You know, we care about everybody that comes in here, but, you know, yes, there were times when I was thinking, my God, we could make this work. We could keep people safe. You know, we can make this work. And, but yeah, it's, you know what though?
There you go.
Stage left on that.
There you go. Moving forward.
I think we're going to end up changing that old adage, you know, like hindsight's 2020.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to change it to something else because hindsight should never be 2020. 2020 should not exist.
Yeah.
That's
never
pretty good.
I like that.
That's pretty good. All right.
That is good.
Let's take a break, Dan. Stick with us. We'll wrap up the program on the other side. I've got a couple more off-the-wall questions that I want to throw at you. So it's Brew Talk Radio. We're live from Mighty River Brewing Company. We'll be here till... well, probably about 9 o'clock, so stop by and see us. It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Just about 5 minutes left here as we're live from Mighty River Brewing Company. I love this. You got the Rockies winning on one screen. You got the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns going on over there. I don't know if my eyes are good enough to see who's winning there. That doesn't look like
a
good
thing. And you got the Rockies out the window.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, you got to put that in there, too.
You got the literal Rockies out there. I like it. I like it. We're live again from Mighty River Brewing Company. I'm Tanner Schwint, Chad Young, Dr. Michael Mosier, and owner of Mighty River, Dan Miller, with us here tonight. And, Dan, you know, we've gone through a lot of stuff we're talking about. We've covered a lot of ground here. Let's just talk about some of the basic stuff with you. What was the first beer? What was the first craft beer, or somewhere along there that you fell in love with? Is there one beer that you point back to with, hey, this was my introductory?
Oh yeah, two of them. Back in the early '90s, would be you know, being a student at CSU. Fat Tire. Odell's 90 Shilling. Yep.
There you go. There you go.
Same rings true for most.
Yeah.
I was going to say, those are
Coloradans our age.
Yeah. Those are still a lot of the same introductory stuff that you see, right? Because they've been around for so long now that they can be found just about in any liquor store. So no one ever forget. I mean, you'll never forget your first, right? That's why we ask that question a lot. Yeah. There's a beer that makes you fall in love with beer. So what type of brewing system do you have?
It's a 5-barrel. It's an electric system, so it's a little unique on that. I mean, a lot are either steam or gas, but we're an electric, so it's a little.
Is that working out really well?
Yeah.
I mean, because that the warm up time is a little slower on electric than it is on gas or steam.
It can be. But we've got ours can go all the way up to almost 100 amps.
Oh wow!
So it can rip. So,
that's really
and we can get up to boil pretty quickly from our mash out. And so, yeah, is it you know, the best? No, but it works for us, and we do the best we can. So
I can attest that it works for you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you.
There's
thank
no
you.
Doubt about that. No guys. Doubt at all. Yeah. What is something you, outside of 2020, what is something, if you could go back to yourself prior to opening Mighty River, what is a piece of advice you'd like to tell yourself that you know now? And obviously it could be, hey, there's a pandemic coming. Don't open it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. That would have been a good one.
But
none of us would have done that if we had seen it coming.
Outside of that, what is a piece of advice you'd like to tell to yourself before you open up?
That's a great question. There's so much more to it than I thought there was. I wasn't naive enough to think that I could just brew beer and sell it and it all would be grand.
If everybody, if that could be done, I think everybody would be trying to do it, right?
And a lot of people are. A lot of people are doing it. And, it's just how involved it is. There's just so much to it.
Yeah.
You know, the social media, the marketing.
Marketing.
The paperwork.
Exactly. Good one. There's so much of that.
Turns out people want paid.
Paying all the bills. There's obviously people that could be hired to do all that, but I'm still doing it because
there was a pandemic.
Right. Yeah. So, but it's all good. It's, and I just know that there's going to be an evolution that's coming very soon. I think it's going to be good.
It's really exciting. In about 20 seconds, 30 seconds, what separates you from the other breweries in the area? What makes you unique?
Well, I think we just have a really good variety. I think we cater to a lot of folks. I think we have a nice spot here. I think our view of the Rockies is no one has a better view than us.
No, no doubt.
Our patio, it's not huge, but it's pretty good size. And people love being out there. We got the silo out front.
There you go.
Our whole establishment surrounds the outdoors.
Yeah. And let me throw one more in there. Great beer.
Yeah, thank you.
Dan, thank you so much for having us out here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
We'll catch up with you real soon. For Doc Mosier, for Chad Young, I'm Tanner Schwint. This has been Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK. Cheers.